Good morning. I would like to bid you all a hearty welcome to this morning's worship service. My name is Jeff Hildebrand. If we have guests in our midst, a hearty welcome to you as well. We hope you feel welcome here to this morning. And to you five gentlemen, a special welcome. The joy and excitement we have as body of believers in Jesus Christ of people coming forward and acknowledging the love for the Lord is just such a joyous time. I was sharing in the ministerial room that I'm kind of a little bit torn because my son is getting baptized as well, so leaving my home church in Summerfelt is a bit of a challenge for me now. I get somewhat emotional. So I don't know if how that's going to work out today, so whatever. If it happens, it happens. It's all good. But I'd like to greet you with the words that we find in the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1, where in verse 3 and 4 it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." When we look at that passage of Scripture, we are reminded again the importance of salvation through Jesus Christ. And so anytime people come forward and accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, it's almost, I don't know how to put it in words. There's so much joy. There should be so much joy in the community of believers. Yesterday morning, one of our members of the church had popped by, and his grandson is getting baptized this morning. So they were ecstatic, and you know, as a body of believers, there's so much that we should be celebrating because even the angels are rejoicing. So I wonder what that sounds like. But as we get started this morning, let's unite for an opening prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne of grace and mercy. We come with joy and gladness in our hearts. Father, we just praise and honor and glorify you, and we want to uplift these five young gentlemen here, but not them alone, but all of the people that are coming to know you as their personal Lord and Savior, wherever they are in this world. Lord, so we as a body of believers, we need to uphold them in prayer and support. So as we look at that and consider that, Father, give us the wisdom and understanding and the knowledge that we would do that well and that we would help these young men here, particularly in this congregation, that we would walk with them, encourage them, and strengthen them. And Father, that you would walk with them and be their guide. Father, we thank you for each one that has come to this morning's worship service. May you bless and keep them all. Lord, we also ask that you would be with the Sunday school teachers this morning, that you would lead and guide them. And Father, again, we just pray that your Holy Spirit would have free course here and that Satan and his forces would be rebuked. And Father, that with that, as your Spirit moves here today, that we, your children, would be blessed and you, Father, would be honored and glorified. We pray all this in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. So just a little rundown of how I usually go through this. I will have after the singing, I'm going to have an opening scripture passage, get right into the questions and answers, then we'll kneel for prayer, and then we'll continue that same kind of a pattern for the rest of the service. So with that, I'll turn it over to the song leaders.
A blue hymnal number 478, I Need Thee Every Hour. Number
Page 388. Take my life and let it be. 388.
Well, thank you so much for that singing and playing. What a couple of beautiful songs that we start this morning's worship service. So this morning, before we get started in the catechism, I wanted to start off in the book of Titus. And in Titus chapter 2, I just wanted to touch on a few verses there. So Titus chapter 2, verse 11 to 15. So Titus 2, verses 11 to 15. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. We look at that passage of Scripture, and it touches, it has quite a few good touch points. First of all, it talks about God's grace. Then it talks about salvation. Then it touches on teaching and what we need to avoid. And then we also look at verse 13, and it talks about the blessed hope that we have. You know, we know Jesus is going to come again. And this is something we can look forward to. And we are reminded that he gave himself. He was a sacrifice for our sins. And finally, purified unto himself Christians, a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Sometimes people don't understand why we do things we do. And it's because we're trying to reveal the goodness of God. So when we have those things in our hearts and our minds, it makes such a huge change in our life. And I do not know you guys, but I imagine you've been experiencing some changes in your life. Maybe you've always known Jesus as far as you know. I don't know. Maybe you've just had the revelation that you need Jesus. And that happens throughout the world. People just all of a sudden realize because maybe they've heard something, they saw something, and they begin to maybe ask a few questions, and suddenly they realize they need Jesus. I often think of Philip and the Ethiopian, how that all came together, how quickly the Ethiopian just, when Philip shared the gospel, the Ethiopian just wanted to be baptized, and it happened. Yes, we have a process here, and I think it's a good process. But the change that you will be going through and have already gone through is such a beautiful thing. When we talk about being a peculiar people, I want to share a little story with you of someone that I know. And this person's journey of faith started probably a couple of years ago. This individual was raised in the church, so to speak. Went to church for most of his young life, fell away from God, and something changed. And the people at this individual's workplace even began to recognize the change. And I'm wondering, do people recognize the change in us, the ones that already have been renewed and baptized? Do people know that we love the Lord? It was interesting, this individual was talking with a co-worker, and the co-worker did not know Jesus. He was never brought up in the church. And there was other people at this workplace that were giving this other individual gospel tracts. And finally, this one individual that I'm referring to asked a very simple question. Do you have a Bible? So I'm going to ask you all that question. How many of you have at least one Bible? And I bet you got more. Well, this person had none. So this individual took a ride to that person's place because he had told them, I'm going to bring you a Bible. This was on a Sunday. And he dropped off the Bible. The reason I want to share that with you guys is this. In your new life in Jesus Christ, you need to become that peculiar person as well. If you see someone has a need, particularly they're in their spiritual walk, you won't have all the answers. I don't have all the answers. Jonathan doesn't have all the answers. Nobody in this congregation has all of the answers. But prayerfully go, allow the Spirit to move, and He will teach you and guide you in all truth. That's part of the relationship of our triune God that you will be experiencing. And we're going to touch a little bit on that later on. So with that, I want to get into the catechism. So we're going to be on page 29, I believe. So if I can get you guys to stand up, and like I said in the ministerial room, please, if you need to sit down at any point, please do so. If you need water or something, then I'm sure we can make that happen for you. So we're in part 3, the redemption of man through Christ, chapter 1, how redemption was promised by God. So the first question, did the Lord God suffer men to perish in sin and misery?
No, he redeemed his people.
How did he redeem them?
By giving his only begotten son.
How could God give his son?
He had to partake of flesh and blood, that through death he might destroy him, and that had power of death, that is, the devil.
Was there no other way to redeem us?
No, no one could by any means redeem his brother.
Was only one our Savior to die for all?
Yes, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous.
Thank you. So when we look at redemption, the Bible teaches us it's only through Jesus. There's no other way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. That is what Jesus tells us. And praise be to God that he sent his son. The promise to Adam and the patriarchs before the giving of the law. How could man know that a redeemer was to come to atone for his sin?
God made this known to Adam, for he said to the serpent, "He, the seed of the woman Christ, shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel."
Has this promise reference to Christ?
Yes, to Christ, the crucified one.
Did the faithful before the flood believe in this promise?
Yes, by faith Abel offered unto God, so were Enoch and Noah of the faith.
To whom did God make this promise more clearly?
To Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, when he said, "In thee and in thy seed shall all families of the earth be blessed."
Yes, thank you. So when we look at the Old Testament here, this is mostly directed from the Old Testament. We know that Adam and Eve, they sinned, and God was going to send a Redeemer. We find that out very early on in Scripture. And, you know, we look at the faith of some of these men that are listed here. Incredible faith journeys. And that's something that we can all have too. So as you walk in your faith, as you trust in Jesus Christ, you will grow day by day. You need to depend on Him. He knows your needs and He knows your hearts. So part 2, the law, a schoolmaster unto Christ. By what means did God control the people of Israel before the advent of Christ?
He gave them the law of Moses, especially the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai, written upon two tables of stone.
What are the Ten Commandments?
And the God spake all these things, saying, "I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage."
So we'll immediately go into the commandments. So the first table, the first commandment.
Thou shalt have no other gods before me.
Second commandment.
Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and shewing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments.
Third commandment.
Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain,
for the Lord will not hold him guiltless and taketh his name in vain.
Fourth commandment.
Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it.
Now the second table, the fifth commandment.
Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the earth which the Lord thy God giveth thee.
Sixth commandment.
Thou shalt not kill.
The seventh commandment.
Thou shalt not commit adultery.
Eighth commandment.
Thou shalt not steal.
Ninth commandment.
Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor.
Tenth commandment.
Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's.
So question 12, what is the sum and substance of these 10 commandments?
The first table commands us to love God with all our heart and with all our soul and with all our mind. And the second table is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself.
Has the law respect only to actions?
No, it has special respect to the inward movings or desires of the heart.
Does the law forbid secret lusts?
By all means, for it is written, thou shalt not covet.
Has anyone ever fully kept the law?
No, they are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one.
For what purpose was the law given?
That it might be a schoolmaster till Christ appears, and that man might have knowledge of sin.
Thank you. You know, there's a lot to this section. First of all, when we go back to the law and the schoolmaster, you know, when the Ten Commandments were given, the people of Israel were finally freed from the Egyptians. And God gave them very specific things that they were supposed to be following. And then he gave them the Ten Commandments. How long did it take the people to rebel? Did not take long. As you go throughout the Old Testament, and I'm going through the Bible again, and I'm in Kings now, or in 2 Kings. But how quickly, when you read the book of Kings, how quickly they fell away from God. King after king after king after king would do that which was evil in the sight of God. And then you had some kings that did what was right in the sight of God. But there were so many that did evil. And we can compare that kind of to the world we live in today. It's really no different. There's so many people and so many situations where people just decide, you know what? We're not going to follow God. We're going to follow our own path. Well, we need to follow God's path. So then as we go through the commandments, we know what they were ultimately for. And that is something that I think is important. So I want to go back to the 16th question, and it was, for what purpose was the law given? It was given as a schoolmaster. In other words, it was given for us, for people, until Christ appeared, that people would know what sin is. And then by the grace of God, he sends his son. And now because of what Jesus did, we can have salvation through him. And that's what we are looking for today. We look to Jesus. So part 3, predictions by the prophets concerning Christ. Did the prophets foretell the coming of Christ?
Yes, all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have foretold of these days.
What did Moses say of the Savior?
He said, The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken.
Are there any predictions in Psalms concerning Christ?
Yes, not only the writings of Moses and the prophets, but also the Psalms prophesy concerning Christ.
So, how many of you have read the Old Testament? I hope all of us, because when we look at the Old Testament and its prophecies, we can see how many of those prophecies have literally been fulfilled. And they were written thousands of years before Christ. And we can see that these things are lining up exactly with what the Bible says. You will probably be questioned at some point, how do you know the Bible is true? Well, that is one way we know it is true. There is no other book like that. So it's important that you go through the whole Bible. And once you've read it once, and you captured that much of it, read it again. I want to encourage you, daily devotion, every single day, either, you know, the way we do it is we start that in the morning, every single morning. My wife and I have our devotion time. And I've learned something from our bishop. So I've been putting this into practice. But he told us one day, he said, him and his wife have devotion time. I said, okay, well, that's probably most of you do that. At least I hope you do. But he said, then I have my own devotional time. I went, well, that is a really good idea. And now I've made that more of a commitment in the past while, that I have just my own time. When I used to be in the workforce, and I was traveling for about 40 minutes to work, that was my devotional time. Because I don't listen to the radio, at least not very often, very, very seldom. So that was my time. And in the job that I had, I did quite a fair bit of traveling in the local areas. I could do the same thing. But it wasn't that I sat down with my Bible. It was I was sitting down and having a conversation. Because God wants us to talk and communicate with him. How many of you have something on your prayer list today? Yeah, we all do, don't we? You know, somebody has passed away. And we want to encourage and pray for that family. It's a hard time. You guys are getting baptized. I'm hoping that this whole church is praying for you daily. And there's many other things that we can talk to our Father about. So I just want to encourage you to do that. Please make sure you know God. Knowing of God is one thing, but essentially it is useless. You have to know God, because even the devil knows of God. So you be careful that you do not deviate from spending time with God. There are so many distractions in this world, and we can get caught up in so many different things, can't we, that pull us away from the Father. Draw nigh to him, and he will draw nigh to you. That's what the Word of God says. So part 3, predictions by the prophets concerning Christ. Did the prophets foretell the coming of Christ? Oh, we did that already, didn't we? No, we didn't. 17? Yes.
Did all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many of us have spoken, have foretold of these days?
So we're back on page 39 if some of you guys are looking. What did Moses say of the Savior?
He said, "Thy Lord, thy God, will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him he shall hearken."
Are there any predictions in the Psalms concerning Christ?
Yes, not only the writings of Moses and the prophets, but also the Psalms prophesy concerning Christ.
So chapter 2, the appearance of Christ for our redemption. When did the Savior appear in the world?
When the time which had been predicted was fully come, God sent his Son.
How did he partake of flesh and blood?
He was conceived of the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary, and he was named Jesus.
Where was the Savior born?
At Bethlehem in Judea.
Under what circumstances was he born?
Poor and despised in a stable in Bethlehem.
Where was he brought up?
At Nazareth.
Okay, thank you. You guys can be seated. You know, when we look back at Christmas time, do you ever imagine what it would have been like during that time to be at Bethlehem and to see the things that people saw? The angels, the Son of God being born. It's amazing how God's plan unfolds. And when we think of all the things that are so relevant, and how things have come together so perfectly because God wants to save sinful man. The love he has for us, we as human beings have no way to measure that, do we? We have all sorts of indicators in life. And what I mean by that is, how many of you currently are in the workforce? Do you have a job? How many of you have to go for a job review as part of your job? So when I was working, every year, we would have to go in for with our manager. He would sit down with us and we would have to do a performance evaluation every year. So after that performance evaluation, then you might get a raise, you might not, but it was based on your that evaluation was your job was based off of that and how well you did. That is how we kind of look at things in life very often. We look at specific things. What is required of you to get a good evaluation of God? It's accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That is how you will be evaluated. It's not going to be about how many good things you did in your life. That's part of people understanding and knowing who we are. That does not give you salvation. You only get salvation through Jesus. That's why today it is so important in what you five guys here are doing. Nobody can ever take that away from you. So you guys, I want to encourage you to hold on to what you know the truth is. It's all here for you. And there's a lot of wisdom in this church today that you should be able to go to. You all had a first witness and a second witness. Right? Do you know what they're supposed to help you with? Do you understand? Those are the two men you go to. And they will guide and help you. So you as, I don't know who the witnesses are. But you as the witnesses for these guys, you have a very great responsibility in their journey. And the rest of us have a responsibility as well by prayer and supplication. We pray for each other. That includes the person you're sitting beside. So when we go into prayer at this time, I want to encourage you, please pray for not only these five, but wherever in the world that people are coming to the knowledge of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And pray for one another. That we will all stand firm in the gospel of Jesus. So with that, for all of you that are willing and able, please kneel and pray in the name of Jesus. May the God of grace, mercy, and love grant us our petitions according to our faith.
The blue hymnal number 18. Oh, to be like thee. Number 18. For those who are able to, we stand to sing, please.
Thank you.
thank you for that singing and playing. And having prayed in the name of Jesus, you can be assured your prayers will have been heard. Luke chapter 15. In Luke chapter 15, I just wanted to read a few verses beginning at verse 3. And Jesus is speaking a parable here. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over the 99 just persons which need no repentance. Two things I wanted to point out here. Of course, we all understand about the lost sheep, don't we? Someone that has been lost and is found. But do we forget about the shepherd who is searching out? That the shepherd, which we call Jesus, is still searching today for the lost. And when someone comes back to him or comes to him, the angels in heaven are rejoicing. I've read that passage of scripture many times. And it just hit me the other day that I think about the sheep a lot, because there's so many people in the world that don't know Jesus. But I kind of didn't really think too much of the shepherd going out and searching, having a desire for that person or people to come back to him. I kind of missed that point for a long time. And maybe someone had told me, and maybe I just had forgotten about it. But anyway, it was, to me, that's an important message that Jesus was telling us. So with that, I'm going to ask you gentlemen to please stand again. We'll go through a few more questions and answers. So we're on page 43. The baptism and public ministry of Christ. When was Jesus proclaimed as the Son of God?
At the age of 30, when he was baptized of John, for a voice from heaven said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.
Whereby did Jesus prove himself to be the Savior of the world?
By his teaching and miraculous works, he taught as one having authority and not as the scribes, and he performed many miracles.
What was the substance of his preaching?
Repent ye and believe the gospel.
What miracles did Jesus perform?
He opened the eyes of the blind, made the lame walk, cleansed the lepers, unstopped the ears of the deaf, loosed the tongues of the dumb. He raised the dead and did many other miracles.
So when Jesus came to do or started his ministry, you know, he was baptized, then he taught. But what was his first message? You can look it up in Mark 1:15, because that's a quote. Repent ye and believe the gospel. John the Baptist said the same thing. Repent and believe the gospel. That's what this is about. Repentance of sin and believing the gospel. That's our journey. It sums it up very well. And it goes on to say how many things he actually did. And there are so many miracles that Jesus performed. So part two, the suffering and death of our Savior. What did the Lord Jesus finally do for us?
He died for our sins according to the scriptures.
What is the real significance of the Lord's death?
It is an offering for the sins of the whole world, by which he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified.
When did his suffering begin?
In the night in which he was betrayed by Judas in the Garden of Gethsemane, his soul became exceeding sorrowful even unto death.
Why had he to suffer such agony?
The Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all.
What followed his agony of soul?
He suffered himself to be taken, condemned, and to be delivered over unto death by the pagan judge Pontius Pilate.
What manner of death did the Savior die?
He was crucified outside the gates of Jerusalem between two murderers.
Was it necessary for the Savior to die on the cross?
That he might redeem us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree.
Was the Lord Jesus also buried?
Yes, they laid him in a new tomb, hewn out in a rock.
So when we look at Jesus' suffering, we can't even begin to imagine the physical pain. But what about the separation from his Father? You know, when we come to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we don't have to experience the separation from God, ever. Will we have trials in this world? Absolutely. But, you know, we are not here for a long time. And when we die, we get to be with Jesus. Make that your focus. Never lose focus on where you are going. Do not lose focus on your destination. Question for you. How many of you have ever taken a road trip? Yeah, we all have. How many of you knew where you were starting from and knew where you were going to end up? You had a plan, right? This is how many minutes, days, hours, whatever it is, it's going to take us to get from this point to this point. That is what we call the journey. Okay? And sometimes there's bumps in the road in that journey. Your spiritual walk is no different. Understand where you're starting from. You are starting right now in Christ. Do not lose focus of your destination. So again, hold fast to Jesus. So part three, Christ's resurrection and ascension. Did the Savior remain in the tomb?
No, he arose on the third day according to the scriptures.
What does his resurrection assure us?
That we are justified through his blood, for he was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification.
Where was the Lord Jesus after his resurrection?
He showed himself alive to his disciples 40 days and spoke to them about the kingdom of God.
What took place after 40 days?
Jesus led his disciples out over against Bethany on Mount Olivet and there ascended into heaven.
What did the Lord Jesus obtain for us by his ascension?
By his own blood, he entered in once for all into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us.
You know, when the world considers their gods that they serve, ours is the only God that is a living God. And Jesus rose. And he has secured a place for you and I. It's one of these things again that I wonder what it would have been like to be there when the disciples first saw Jesus after he arose. What? Like, would you go, but we saw you die. How? Sometimes there's questions in life that it's difficult for us to answer, but we know the power of God. That is how. It must have been so interesting for them. And we know that even Thomas doubted. So to me, that tells us something, that in our life, we will have doubts about certain things. But then Thomas was told by Jesus, like, because you have seen me, you believe. He goes on to say, blessed are those that have not seen and yet believe. That's for us. So such a beautiful promise that we are given. And we are redeemed by the blood of Christ. So the Redeemer's threefold office, part four. Question 23, in what ways are we to regard the Lord Jesus after having accomplished our redemption?
As our prophet, high priest, and king.
What is his prophetic office?
He revealed to us the way of salvation, prophesied coming events, and strengthened this with miracles, for such were the functions of the Old Testament prophet.
What did the Savior do as a high priest?
Christ, as our high priest, has offered himself up, once for all, a sacrifice. He intercedes for us continuously and blesses us as his children.
What is Christ's office as king?
He gives commandments and subdues people to his power. He rules and defends them. He restrains and conquers his enemies and protects and rewards his own.
What is the nature of Christ's kingdom?
His kingdom is not of this world. It is a spiritual kingdom of grace. In his believers, he has a heavenly kingdom of glory into which he will finally lead his believers.
When we go back to question 23, the answer there is our prophet, high priest, and king. We all need to ask the question, is he our king? Is he our Lord? Is he our master? Is he our Savior? And I hope we can all answer with a resounding yes. That's who Jesus is to me. You know, there are so many ways, again, when we go back into the Old Testament, that salvation was prophesied about. Jesus comes and he strengthens it with miracles. It's amazing what he has all done to help us to understand who he truly is. We are sometimes so focused on here in this world, but our focus truly needs to be again, of our final destination. And that's heaven, where Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us. So part five, the sending of the Holy Spirit and universal grace. What gift did the Lord Jesus bestow upon his own after his ascension?
He gave them the Holy Spirit according to his promise.
When did this occur?
On the day of the first Pentecost of the New Testament.
Was the Holy Spirit given to the apostles only?
No, Peter said, the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off. God will give his Holy Spirit to those who will pray for it.
What is the work of the Holy Spirit in the believers?
He testifies of Jesus. He comforts and sanctifies them, leads them into all truth, and through him, the love of God is shed abroad into their hearts.
What did the Holy Spirit particularly enable the apostles to do?
He enabled them to preach the gospel to all people and to strengthen their preaching with miracles.
Was God's message of salvation only for the people of Israel?
No, the word of God was first spoken to the Jews, but afterwards to the Gentiles.
Is it the will of God that all men should be saved?
Yes, God have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth.
Has redemption been provided for all?
Yes, Christ gave himself a ransom for all.
Do all accept this redemption?
No, not all are obedient to the gospel.
Thank you. You guys can be seated again. The Holy Spirit. What a gift that God gave us. We find it, you know, in the book of Acts. You know, I'm not going to go there, but you can find very quickly in the book of Acts how Peter preached with boldness because he had the Holy Spirit. And he presented the truth of the gospel. Now, I've been kind of talking a lot about the Old Testament this morning. So, let's go to the Old Testament. We're going to go to Ezekiel chapter 36. So this is how I would like to conclude this morning. So in Ezekiel 36, beginning at verse 25. In my Bible, there's a subtitle. And it's subtitled, A New Heart and Spirit. And this is how it reads. Again, beginning at verse 25. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a new heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And ye shall keep my judgments and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. And ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. My hope and prayer is that we can all say these words. In the sense that we will say, you are my God. And wherever God leads you, I also hope you will say, Lord, where you lead me, I will follow. Whatever that might look like in your life. It might be staying within the walls of this church. It might be going out into the world. It might be going into the highways and the byways. Maybe at a corner in Winnipeg or here. Sharing the gospel with someone. Maybe in a coffee shop. Maybe where you work. But we can share our faith with those that are around us in so many ways. And as you do that, you will grow. Remember, you pray that you will be gifted the Holy Spirit. And that when we go back to the question 30 here, and it says that God will give his Holy Spirit to those who will pray for it. So that is a quote from the Bible. Remember what the Spirit does. The Spirit will lead you and guide you into all truth. And again, for you young men, I have no idea how old you guys are. How old are you guys?
18.
How old are they?
18.
18. All of you?
Yeah.
Whoa.
117.
Lord willing, you will have a long life to live here. And I hope you serve God well. That is my hope and prayer for you. So, again, brothers and sisters in Christ, be diligent in your prayers for these young men. And maybe there's someone here that just hasn't understood or made that commitment yet. Pray for them. I'm going to ask you a question. I don't want you to respond in any way. But is there someone in your family that you know that doesn't know Jesus or isn't following Jesus? I think we probably most of us experience that. They should be on your prayer list every single day. Do not give up. Do not give up. The Bible says that the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. If you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you are born again, you qualify to be that person, be that prayer warrior of that individual or people that you know that don't know Jesus. I'm so thankful that you are heeding God's call. Some point, all of us that believe will be rewarded in a way that we cannot even put into words. Just absolute joy being with God and Jesus. I don't know how to describe it to you. I just hope the Spirit will. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for the gift of your Son, who is willing to die on the cross for us. He gave himself willingly that we may be reconciled to you. We thank you and praise you for your grace and your mercy and your love that you continue to show us each and every day. And Father, we just ask for strength that as we journey here in this world, as we continue our walk in faith, that we would constantly look to you for guidance in all things, in all matters of our life. Father, we just, again, want to bring you these five young men here today. We lay them before you at the foot of the cross. Father, you know their hearts. We believe they are sanctified and justified and cleansed by the blood of your Son. So in your eyes, they have become righteous. So we praise you and thank you. But we know that there are difficulties and challenges in this world. So prepare them that they would put on the whole armor of God and be able to fight off what the devil is going to throw at them. Lord, I also want to bring you the congregation here. May you bless and keep them. May you strengthen them, and may they be your prayer warriors for family members, for their church family, and for all those that need prayer. And we know there are many, many things. So, Father, today we thank you for this time of fellowship. We thank you that we could look into your word freely. Father, we ask again that you would continue to walk with us in our journey, that you would bless and keep us in all truth, and that you would strengthen us. We pray all this in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. So at this time, I want to give you another opportunity for some time in prayer. Again, there's probably many things you need to pray about, so I want to encourage you to do that this morning. So with that, for all of you that are willing and able, please kneel and pray in the name of Jesus. May the Lord hear our prayers and be gracious to us.
In the blue hymnal, page 504, we see Christ. 504. Well, thank you again for that singing and playing, and having prayed in the name of Jesus, you can rest assured your prayers will have been heard. I want to thank you, gentlemen, for responding to the answers, or the questions and the answers this morning. I hope you could all hear them. And as far as the message goes this morning, I have nothing more to share with you, and just remind you guys that you'll be here next week as well, and that you will be continuing with the catechism. So let's bow for the benediction that we find in the book of Jude. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen.
We have ushers. No. Okay, the congregation is dismissed. Thank you for coming.